Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur commences from the upper part of Daf Ayin Tes, three lines from the top. Omar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Omar Shmuel Hilchasa Kechananya. We had learned in our previous shiur that there was a machlokes between Chananya and the Chachomim, a controversy between these two Tanaic authorities as to whether the prohibition of Oisoi Vespinoi applies to the father of an animal and its child, the prohibition of slaughtering the two on the same day. It is clear that the prohibition of Oisoi Vespinoi refers to the slaughtering of a mother animal and its offspring, son or daughter, on the same day. What about the slaughtering of a father and its offspring on the same day? So Chananya ruled that we learned from the word oso that a zohar is included, and beno is a reference to the mother. Even though beno means child, it's a description of the mother and its child, as we learned on top line of this particular daf. Shmuel, in ruling like Chananya, is in effect saying that the father identity, when it comes to an animal father-son relationship, the father identity is of significance. With that in mind, the Gemara continues by saying that Shmuel is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. The Gemara has what we call in our markings a long point. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a nun that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line that indicates that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line form the point. Be'ozda Shmuel l'ta'amei. Shmuel is consistent in his recognizing the father identity, which is called Choshishin Lezera Ho'av, when it comes to animals, as is reflected in the following piece of Gemara, Disnan. The topic at hand is one of Kilayim. Kilayim is the prohibition of mixing breeds, crossbreeding. For example, it would be forbidden to mate a horse with a donkey. Those are two different types of animals. The source says as follows: Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hanoylodim min hasus. Those animals that are born from a horse. The horse, in this case, is the mother, the nekeva. Afalpi she'avihen chamor. Even though their father is a donkey, mutorin ze boze. In order to describe this, we have a little chart that you can see on the upper inside corner of the page, the inside margin. We have a susa and a chamor. A susa is a female horse mating with a donkey. And again, another susa mating with its chamor, female horse with male donkey. The two couples produce each one a child, one a bas, a female mule, a predo, and the other a male, a son, a ben, a male mule. These two offspring are allowed to mate, or are allowed to be with one another. Avol, the source goes on to say, Hanolodim min hachamor im hanolodim min hasus asurin. However, if you have a creature, an offspring born from a female donkey with something born from a female horse, those would be forbidden to mate with one another. In order to keep track of this couple, we also have a little chart that accompanies the, in effect, accompanies the Rashi, but you can see a susa with a chamor. That's a mule born from with a female horse and male donkey. The child of that couple would be forbidden, according to this source, to mate with the offspring of a female donkey and a male horse, as you can see in the little chart. The Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel Zu Divrei Rav Yehuda. This restriction that's mentioned in the source is according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, of course, was the one who opened up the source, his name being emphasized in the source itself. This is in accordance with Rav Yehuda, the Omar, Ein Choshishin Lezera Ha'av, that the father identity in animal reproduction is of no significance. So that when you're looking at the forbidden relationship featured in that source, the second case that was reflected in that source, if you discount the fathers, basically you have a mother horse producing an offspring and a mother donkey producing an offspring, so that the offspring has only the mother identity, namely a horse with a donkey, and hence those offsprings would be forbidden to mate with one another. They would be considered kilayim. So Shmuel points out that the analysis we just presented was only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Avo chachomim oimrim, the chachomim would disagree and say, kol mine predois achashein. Any type of mule being that kind of creature produced from the mating of horse and donkey, whether father is horse or father is donkey, mother is horse, mother is donkey, though it doesn't matter. Once you have a parenthood that is a combination of horse, donkey, whichever one is the mother, whichever one is the father, they're considered the same variety. The offspring, that is, are considered the same. Man chachomim, when Shmuel rules that the chachomim hold that all kinds of mule children are the same, who is that? Chananya, who? This, even though it's featured as a, we'll call it plural name, chachomim, the sages, it's really a reflection of Chananya's opinion, the Omar, choshishin lezera ho'av, that says that father identity is of significance when it comes to animal children. V'hai bar susya v'chamro, v'hai bar chamro v'susya, kulu chado mino ninhu. And the case of child of female horse, male donkey father, and child of female donkey and male, female horse and male donkey father are the same. And the reason for that is because we factor in the father's identity. So you have horse donkey, gender of parent is irrelevant. That is a reflection of this concept of choshishin lezera ha'av, and it's pointed out that Shmuel in presenting Hananya like, or as if Hananya were the majority opinion, by calling Hananya's opinion the Chachomim, by referring to Hananya's opinion as the Chachomim, this shows us that Shmuel prefers that, or likes that, or rules like Hananya. Therefore, on the fourth line from the top, where we saw that Shmuel, regarding Oisei Vespanoi, says that that prohibition takes in father and offspring as well, is because of this principle of Choshishin Lezerav, that father identity is of significance when it comes to animal child identity. The Gemara continues with this topic and now raises a question. We call this a long question in our marking system. This is illustrated by the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. This concept of choshishin or ein choshishin lezerav, we saw just a moment ago Shitas Reb Yehuda with regard to the kilayim topic. And Reb Yehuda said that the when it came to that kilayim case, where we have the, we'll say, the chart in the upper inside margin, where we saw the double star and the triple star, that the union of the children of those respective couples would be forbidden, that's because of saying ein choshishin lezera'av, and we discount the father from the identification of the son. The Gemara here will be asking, is this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda based on a suffix on his part, or an issue of certainty on his part? Is it obvious to Rabbi Yehuda that ein choshishin lezera'av, or is the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda that we saw with regard to the kilayim, is it an outgrowth of his being in doubt, and he simply took a stringent approach in forbidding the mating of the children of those respective couples? The Gemara now inside. Ibaya laho. The question is raised. Mifshat pshita leil Reb Yehuda de'ein choshishin lezera'av. Is Reb Yehuda's stance a function of it being obvious to him, that obvious and certain that we don't consider the father identity? Odilma sfuke misafkale. Or it's a matter of doubt that maybe it is true, maybe it is so, that we don't choshish lezera'av. Lamai nafkamina, what practical bearing will the outcome of this question have? Lemishra pri im ha'em. To allow, the pri is the offspring, like pri literally meaning the fruit, the fruit or that which grows from the offspring, the mule, with the mother type of animal, with the type of animal that the mother is. E Amris, if you say Mifshat Pshitole, that it's obvious that we don't factor in the father as having relevance to the identity of the offspring, then pri im ha'ein shori, the offspring with the mother, with the type of animal that is the mother, would be allowed. For example, if you have a union of a female horse with a male donkey, the offspring is called a pered, sometimes translated as mule. But if you say that the father identity is clearly of no consequence, so the offspring will be labeled that of the given the label of the mother, the female horse, and hence the offspring will be called legally or halachically, it will be called horse, and therefore it will be able to be mated with a regular full-bred purebred horse, because the father identity is simply of no concern. However, the E Amris, if you say Sfuke Misafkale, that Rebuta's opinion above is a function of doubt. In other words, he said above a halacha that would seem to say ein choshishin zarav, but that was only because he was in doubt. If that be the case, then pri im ha'im aser. The union of child of the female horse male donkey relationship would be prohibited with a horse, the female, which is the identity of the mother, because maybe we do factor in the father identity, and hence the offspring is a combination creature, and it cannot be mated with a purebred creature. Toshma. So in trying to resolve this question, namely Rabbi Yehuda's approach, is it an approach, the Rabbi Yehuda stance that we saw above in the Tanaic source of Ein Choshishin L'Zera'av, is that a function of doubt or certainty? The Gemara now tries to prove it. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a marking, we have a triangle, it appears. And as you skim down the page, you'll notice that the triangle assumes a different position later on. So, under our Mivneh heading, in the outside margin, Mivneh meaning the structural note that accompanies this sugya, we have triangles featured, and you can see we've written Nisyonos Lifshot Ipshita Le Oymesavka Le Rabbi Yehuda Deloi Choshishin Lezera Av, attempts to prove in one direction or another what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Turning to the Gemara, Toshma, and we should note that this is we're calling this an answer, a long answer. It will, however, be rejected. The Gemara says, Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol hanoylodim min hasus, all those that are born from a horse, where the mother is a horse, Afalpi Shavien Chamor, even though their father is a donkey, Mutorin Ze Bozeh. Heichi Domi, what are the circumstances? In order to determine this, the Gemara goes through a few stages. I Lemo, Davua Dahai Chamor, Vavua Dahai Chamor, if the respective children here have the same parenthood, female horse, father, male donkey, then Tzricha Lameimar, do I have to tell you that the offspring are allowed? These offspring have exactly the same parenthood, and therefore the offspring are the same variety, so why should there be any restriction? You can see on the inside margin we've provided a little chart indicating the Ilema stage, with Susa and Chamor, Susa being the female horse mating with male donkey. The respective children, Peret and Pregot, have the same genealogy or parenthood, and therefore it would be obvious they would be allowed with one another. So Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't be featuring that case. Elolav, rather, what's the case Rabbi Yehuda is featuring? The Avua Dahai Sus, the Avua Dahai Chamor. This too is featured on our little chart, where the father of one is a donkey and the father of the other is a horse. That would be what's called nolodim min hasus. In other words, you have a case of things born from, according to this, from two horse parents, and something born from a horse mother and father donkey. And that case, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying the offspring are allowed to mate with one another, even though they respectively have a different parenthood. The Katani Mutarim Ze'im Ze'. And they are yet, nevertheless, even though they have different parenthood, the offspring are allowed to mate with one another. Alma, if we're allowing this, that's a leniency, and we're dealing with a topic of a Torah level of prohibition, namely kilayim, and you're providing an allowance over here. Alma mifshat pshita le, it's then obvious that Rav Yehuda discounts the Zerah Av, namely Ein Choshishin L'Zerah Av, on a basis of certainty. Therefore, if you look at this, the chart here, you can see that the offspring are considered of the same variety because the only thing of interest to us is the mother identity. And in both cases, they have the mother. You can see we've double underlined on our little chart. The mother in both cases happens to be a horse, female horse mother. And as a result of saying Ein Choshishin Zerav, the child of the horse donkey parenthood is the same as the child of the purebred horse parenthood, both having horse mothers. Loi, the Gemara says, no, this is not the case. we can't use this case explaining Rabbi Yehuda, and rather we go back to the first case. The respective parents of both offspring are actually the same. The two couples, in terms of animal identity, they are the same. Uda Ko'amris, and regarding that, we said, well, Shricha Lameimar, do I have to tell you that that would be allowed? It would seem to be obvious. So, to this, the Gemara says, no, it's not totally obvious, and therefore, this, in fact, is what Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. Mahu Detema, without this case being featured in the source, I would have thought, Osi Tzad Sus, Mishtamish B'Tzad Chamor, B'Tzad Chamor, Mishtamish B'Tzad Sus. In looking at these offspring we'll call it the Elamo stage, it could be that the male mule, when coupling with the female mule, is in effect the male mule's mother side is mating, so to speak, with the female mule's father side, which would be the horse background that's in the pered is mating with the female background that's in the pirdah. And that would be a function of crossbreeding. In other words, when focusing on the children, the pered and the pirdah in that case, the different parents that are represented in each child, that parent aspect in the child is mating with the other parent aspect in the other child, and that would be a function of crossbreeding. Komash Malon, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda tells me that in that case, it is allowed, and we don't say that the respective parent identity is, let's say, crossbreeding when the children couple with one another. However, from that case, since they have exactly the same parenthood, the issue of Choshishin L'Zera'av cannot be analyzed. Toshma, you'll notice the triangle is with the point facing down, so this will try to prove the other direction, that it's a matter of doubt. Toshma Rida Omer, Pirda Shetova, a mule that's in heat, that shows through its behavior that it wants to have, it wants to mate. A Pirda is a mule. Its parents are a combination of horse and donkey. Ein marbien olel lo isus velo chamor elo mino. We don't allow the pirda to mate with either a horse, nor with a chamor, a donkey. Elo mino, only its own kind. Now the e amris mifshat pshito lei. If it were a function of certainty that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion Ein Choshishin L'Zera'av, that father identity when it comes to offspring is of no consequence, so Lirba Oleh Alo Mino De'ima, why not mate with this mule that's in heat? Why not mate it with whatever its mother is. A mule being the product of horse donkey, well, whatever its mother is, have it mate with the same variety of whatever its mother was, have it mate with this female mule. The fact that we don't allow it is because Rabbi Yehuda seems to be of the opinion that when he says lo yichoshev zarav, it's a matter of doubt, and that he'll say ein choshesh lezarav only when it results in a restriction. But if it's going to result in a leniency, like in this case, allowing a mating, in that case he will take into consideration that maybe we do consider the father identity. And if that be the case, the pirda is a combination of two kinds of parents. And therefore, to take a purebred other animal and mate it with this pirda would be a kilayim problem. The Gemara says, in this case, I would like to mate it with its mother type, with the type of animal that is its mother. However, the lo yadinon mino diimo mai nihu. I see that we have a mule on hand, but I don't know what the identity of its mother was. Therefore, I can't allow it to mate with a purebred either donkey or horse female. The Gemara asks, what do you mean you don't know the identity? Elo mino kotoni. But it says in this source that you are allowed to mate it only with its own kind. The Rashi across from here says Vaha Elo mino kotoni, the I lo yadinon I bas susyo vi I bas chamora. If you don't know whether it's the daughter of a female horse or female donkey, my pered marbinon alo, what kind of mule would you, yes, be allowed to mate with it? Ha'omar Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda, who is the author of this source, has already said, hanolodim min hasusya asurin benolodim min hachamora, that those things that are born from a female horse are forbidden to be mated with those born from a female donkey. So from the fact that this source says you're allowed to mate the pirda with its own kind, this shows us that I know what its mother is. So how can you say that we don't know what its mother is? The Gemara answers, Hochi ka'omar, ein marbin oleho, with regard to this pirda, that I don't know who its mother is, we say, lo min sus, velo min chamor, we don't mate with the pirda that's in heat. A sus, min sus means a purebred horse, nor a parrot, a mule born from a female horse. And the reason for that is because I don't know what its mother is. But as far as our topic is concerned, we're rereading the source, and instead of it saying Elo mino, we're saying here Lefi she'ein yodim b'mino. Question. Nevertheless, why is it that you're saying now that you can't mate this pirda with anything? As a result of our supposedly not knowing what its mother is. V'livdok b'simonim. Why not look at the physical signs that are on the animal? We have a pirda that's in heat. By looking at its physical body signs, characteristics, we can in fact determine what its mother is. Diomar Abaye, Ovi Kole, if it has a thick type of voice, Bar Chamra, its mother is a donkey. Sonif Kole, Bar Susya, if it has a shrill, high-pitched voice, so its mother is a horse. The Omar Rav Papa, Rav Ravon Udne Vezutra Ginufse, if it has its large eared and small tail, that's a bar chamra. That's a sign that its mother is a donkey. Zutron Udne Veraba Ginufte, if it's small eared and large tail, bar susya, that's the, its mother is a horse. So when you have a mule in heat, as we had above, and you're telling us that, and you're then saying, well, I can't have it mate because I can't have it mate with another animal because I don't know the identity of the mother of this particular mule. That's not true. I would be able to identify the mother. So the Gemara says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, this source that we said, well, we just can't have it mate with any animal, is be'ilemes v'gidemes, means it has no voice, it's a mute, so I can't use the voice to identify the mother. Gidemes means cut off, means its ears and tail have been removed, so I can't use those identifying marks either. Well, we go on. My Havi Allah, what is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion when it comes to the Ein Choshishin Lazara'av? Does he say that as a result of certainty? And if that be the case, then we can allow for leniencies when they arise? Or does he say that as a matter of doubt? Toshma, the Omer of Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, Hakol Modim, Bepri Im Ha'ein Sha'aser. Everyone agrees that the offspring of a donkey-horse relationship cannot be mated with the variety of the mother. Shma mino sfuke misafkale shma mino. From the fact that everyone agrees, which would include Rebbe Yehuda, it's therefore a function of doubt when he says Ein Choshishin Lazarav. That's a statement made out of doubt. And as a result of that, it could be that we are Choshishin Lazarav, and therefore the mating of the offspring, which is the result of a union of horse donkey, would have a different identity than either one of its purebred parents. And I would not allow this mule, which is a mixed breed, to mate with the identity of its mother, being that its mother is a pure breed creature. And this prohibition is once again a function of maybe we do factor in the... it could be that maybe we don't factor in the identity of the father, and therefore the mother being a pure breed would be forbidden to be mated with the child that is a mixed breed. Because if it would be a matter of certainty that he says Ein Choshishin Lazara'av, then we would say that the child's identity is that of its mother alone, and that we discount the father presence, and I would be able, in that case, to mate it with the variety of its mother. But since we say over here, HaKol Modim, that pre-Im Ha'Em is forbidden, it's because we look at the father's identity as being present in the offspring, and hence it cannot be mated with the variety of its mother, which is purebred. Shma mino sfuke mesafko lei shma mino. We see from here that the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, or the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of Ein Choshishin Lazara'av, is really a function of doubt and not a function of certainty. Omar lei Rabbi Abba lishame. Rabbi Abba says to his servant, Imailis li kudnaisa berispak. If you have any intention of having the rispak is a cart. A wagon in which people sit. They're a means of transportation, and these are drawn by animals. if you have any thoughts of having mules draw my cart, let's maybe just back up for a second and point out that the prohibition of mixed breeding not only has to do with procreation, but having two different kinds of animals draw a cart or a plow simultaneously is also a prohibition of kilayim. He, Reb Abba, says that if you want to attach mules to the cart, to my wagon, then I want to make sure that these mules have the same parenthood. And how can that be determined? By looking at its body signs, those things that we mentioned before. Ayin lahanoch dedamyon lahadodi va'ayoli. Look into their body characteristics, namely ear and tail, and if the mules have the same, the two mules that you want to attach to my cart have the same type of ears, either both long or both short, and the same type of tail, then attach them. That's the ayoli, and have them attached, and they'll draw my cart. Alma kosovar, we see from this approach, Ein choshishin lezera ha'av. He is of the, Rabbi Abba is of the opinion that we discount the father identity. And Rashi explains, if we were to take into account the father identity, then it wouldn't matter if the body characteristics of these two mules would be different, indicating that one had a male horse and female donkey parent, and the other one had male donkey and female horse parent. They both have the same type of parenthood, namely combination of horse donkey. But from the fact that he says, look at the same, make sure they have the same body characteristics, it indicates to us that it's of utmost importance that they have the same mothers. If we look in the Rashi, at the three lines from the bottom, Kosovar Ein Hoshishin, Vave Kilayim Bene Hachamora, Ubene Hasusya. The I Hoshishin, if you were to take into consideration father identity, then kulon shovin, shebekulon yeshnei tzadim. If you were to say father identity is of significance, it wouldn't matter if one is the product of a female horse and the other is the product of a female donkey, because each one of those products have the other variety in its parenthood. And another thing we can determine from Rabbi Abba is v'simonin d'oraisa, that we emphasize signs, characteristics in an item, in this case the mules, as having a Torah-level significance. This comes up in Maseches Bava Metzia as part of a debate when returning a lost item. Let us say the owner offers descriptive signs of the item that was lost. Can I rely on his simonim, his descriptive signs, in returning the item to him, to the one describing the signs of the lost item? And if you say simonim d'oraisa, then I can give back the item to the person describing his lost article, not simply based on a rabbinic allowance, a takona d'rabbanan, but based on a Torah level of certainty. And here too, by the fact that Rabbi Abba is, we're not dealing here with a lost item, but we're dealing with kilayim, which is a Torah level matter of concern, and it's not an area in which the rabbis would rule or issue lenient rulings, because it's not in the realm of financial matters of mominus, and yet we see a leniency, the allowance of the joining up of mules with the same body characteristics. This is a function of holding, or let us not say necessarily leniency here, but the fact that the body characteristics are a determining factor in allowing these two types of animals, these two mules, to be attached to the cart. It shows us that simonim are d'oraisa. And we can say the leniency in this sense is that we allow them to draw the cart together. Because they have the same body characteristics, I know that they have the same kind of mothers. Just to go over the last point again, the conclusion that from this case of Rabbi Abba, when they have these two mules have the same body characteristics, we are concluding that simonim d'oraisa, we can in fact say there is an element of leniency here, and because of the fact that we're dealing with a Torah level issue of mixed breeding and making an allowance, it shows us that our reliance on body signs is of a Torah level. Because if you were to say otherwise, that true, there are simonim, but it's not necessarily on a Torah level, so I would say, well, even though they have the same body characteristics, that doesn't show me definitively the nature of the mothers that, as we saw before. And if it's not definitive, then regarding two different kinds of animals, we would not be allowed to attach them to the cart, even though they look the same. Maybe the parents, in fact, are different. But the fact that we say with certainty that if they have the same body signs, the long tail, long ears, so that shows us clearly what its parents are. And if the two mules have the same body characteristics, we allow you to both of them to be attached simultaneously. That shows us that the simonim are of a definitive nature on a Torah level. As we go on in the Gemara, we have another marking, a new marking. As you scan down the page, you'll notice a double underline introducing Tanaic sources, and along the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3. These represent three different topics of halacha. You can see that we have a squiggle underline in each one of these sources. The first is under the expression Oisei Vesbeno. The second source, halfway down the page, you'll see Ein Mechasen. That is the topic of Kisui Hadam, the covering of the blood of a slaughtered chaya, undomesticated animal, or bird. In this case, we won't be dealing with birds, but rather Kisui Hadam. And the third source, you can see the expression Zroel Chayim Kevo. These are gifts given from the slaughtering of a non-sanctified animal, the chulin animal, given basically every animal that's slaughtered for meat purposes, the zroa, the arm, l'chaim, the cheek, and the cave of the stomach of those animals are given to kehanim. It's called, we can refer to that as matnos kahuna, gifts given to kehanim. So we have three topics, oisav espanoi, kisi adam, and matnos kahuna. And each one of these topics will be mentioning, amongst other things, whether they are binding when it comes to a koi. Koi, chof vav yud, is a type of animal whose identity will in fact be part of our Gemara's discussion. So it would be premature for us to say anything definitive about a koi until we get into the Gemara. So we do have a topic heading and structural note that accompanies this in the outside margin. You can see under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the upper part of the margin, a double underline is featured, and we've written Gimel Mekoros, three sources will be introduced, Begimel Tchumei Halacha, in three areas of Halacha, Shemuzgar Bohen Koi. In each one of these, the Koi will be mentioned. Hagemor Mevareres Bechol Echod Al Eze Koi Medubar. In each case, we will try to establish what kind of Koi are we talking about. Ve'im Choshishin Lazera Ha'av. And do we take into consideration the father identity? As we go on in the Gemara, under each one of these numbers, 1, 2, and 3, there will be stages of analysis in trying to figure out what the case is, and those stages are illustrated by the use of triangles as we go on in the Gemara. You'll notice the triangles, and as we said, those are trying to establish what the case under discussion is. Each one of the triangles you'll see is around the expressions Elamo, Ela, and Le'olam. Namely, if you say thusly, so then one thing, Ela, rather, you have to say something else, and then Le'olam will be a reversal to something said earlier. It also should be pointed out at this point, but we'll try to review it as we go on in the Gemara, that these halachas, Oyser Espino, Kisu Adam, and Matnas Kahuna, are halachas that don't apply across the boards to behemoths and chayas, but rather, each one of them is limited. For example, Oysu Vespino is a halacha limited to where the parent happens to be a behemoth. It would not be binding where the parent is a chaya, chaya being undomesticated type kosher animal, for example, a deer, as opposed to a domesticated type kosher variety mother, which is a cow, sheep, or goat. The halacha of Kisui Adam, as we mentioned very briefly earlier, is a halacha that's binding on undomesticated animals, on chayas. And the halacha of Matnas Kahuna is a behemoth-related halacha. In describing the koi, as we go on in the sugya, we will see a reference to a crossbreeding between domesticated and undomesticated animals. For example, a deer mated with a goat. Now, turning to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Oisoi ve'ezbenoi noyheg bekilayim uva koi. The prohibition of slaughtering mother and offspring on the same day applies to kilayim. Kilayim is the crossbreeding of, let's say, sheep and goat, and it applies to koi, which we'll see later in the Gemara what it's a reference to. Rabbi Lezer Omer, kilayim habo min ho'eiz u min ho'rechil, oisu vesbeno noheg boi. If it's a mixed breeding of sheep and goat, then the halacha of Osavosvara will apply. Min hakoi ein oiso vesbeno noheg bo. However, the crossbreeding in the case of koi will not involve us with the prohibition of oso vesbeno. In other words, we have a machlokis between the Tanakama, who is more restrictive, who says that oiso vesbeno does apply to the case of koi, and Rabbi Lezer says that oso vesbeno does not apply to the case of koi. Omar Rav Chisda, Eizehu koi shenechugu bo Rabbi Lezer v'chachamim. What is the case of the koi that they argue about? Answer, ze habo min hatayish umin hatzviya. It's talking about a case of a crossbreeding between a goat and a deer. Heichi dummy. Well, what are the exact circumstances? And in the case of exact circumstances, we're interested in the identity of the father and identity of the mother, and then use that information to determine, are we talking about an Osova Espino scenario? As we mentioned earlier, Osov Espino is a din when with regard to a behemoth, where the parent has to be a behemoth, the mother has to be a behemoth in order for the din of Osov Espino to apply. So, Heichi Dummi, the case of goat mating with deer, what are the circumstances? And the triangle indicates first stage. Ilemo betaye shabo al hatzvio. What we've done, we've underlined the parents, and we've used a dash underlining to feature one of the parents. So if you're talking about a case of a goat mating with a female deer, Violda, and it gave birth to what we'll call a koi, because shochet la ulebra, and we're going to shecht the that which is dashed underlined, in this case the mother deer with the koi offspring, in other words what would look like oisov espino. Nevertheless, this would not be the subject of the source above in which there was a controversy. The Omer of Chisda, Hakol Moidim. Notice we've underlined Hakol, because we're saying in this case everyone agrees. Behi Tzvio Beno Taish, where the mother is a deer and the offspring is something born from a goat, a father goat. Shepoter, that case, this very case of mother deer being slaughtered with offspring that happened to be from a result of a father that was a goat. Shepoter, why? That poter means there is an exemption of Osov Espino according to everybody. In other words, even according to the Tanakama, there would be no din of Osov Espino here. Se uveno omar rachmona velo tzvi uveno. The pasuk speaks about Shor Ose Oisoy Vespino. It says Se in the pasuk. Se is an animal, a domesticated animal, in this case a sheep, but it's a domesticated mother. And only under the case of domesticated mothers does the din of Oso Vespino apply. So in this case, noticing the dash underlining above, where the mother was a tzvia and a chaya, an undomesticated kind of animal, there is no din of Oso Espino to begin with, according to everybody. So that could not be the case of the koi in the above source, which featured a controversy. Elo b'tzvi habo'ala taisha. So it must be a case of a father deer, the undomesticated was the father, and the taisha, the mother, was a goat, domesticated, the yolda, and it gave birth to what we call a koi, the koshachet lo lebra, and the mother goat and its koi offspring are shechted the same day. So that would be the case of the controversy. The Gemara asks, V'amar avchizda, hakol modim, but everyone is in agreement, behi taisha ubeno tzvi, where the mother is clearly domesticated, and the offspring is from a father that's a chaya, shechayav, that such a case is chayav, everyone would agree is chayav, se omar rachmana ubeno koltehu, the mother must be a behemoth, but the beno koltehu, the child can be, well, whatever, even if the child is partial chaya, it still would be sufficient for being included in this restriction of Osov Espino. So here too you have Hakol Moidim, everyone would be in agreement, which therefore this case would not be the subject of the koi in the above source, which featured a controversy. So we go now to the third stage of analysis, Le'olam B'tayish Habo Alatzvia. In effect, we're going back to the first case. However, it's not exactly the same scenario as the first case, because now we're going to add another generation. We have a Tayish that mated with a Tzvia. The mother is undomesticated. However, V'yolda Bas, it resulted in an offspring of a daughter being born. And this offspring, and we have a little chart, by the way, that accompanies this particular case. that's found on the outside, in the outside margin. The tayish mates with a tzvia, produces a bas, ubas yolda ben, and that bas then produces a ben. The koshochit lo ulibra, and the second and third generations are shechted on the same day. We should note that the bas is called a miktsas se. It's partial domesticated from the father side, from the tayish side. So, if you are to emphasize, let's say, father identity, then the bas would be a din of a behema, and that would then be included in the restriction of osov es beno. So according to this stage of the Gemara, this is the case featured in the above mentioned source, and we saw the Rabbanon saying there is a prohibition of osov es beno. That in effect would be telling us that the father identity, if you hold there's a restriction, that the only way to create a restriction is by emphasizing father identity in the bas, making the bas included in the realm of behema, hence being included in osov es beno. So the Gemara goes on to spell out these shitas, these opinions. Rabbanan sabri choshishin lezera av. The Rabbanan would by force hold that we consider father identity. And another point, the sev afilu miksasem, when the Torah says se is prohibited when it comes to osov es beno, the term se means even something that's partial se. How is this bas partial se? By emphasizing the father identity as well. Rabbi Eliezer that says regarding this case that osov es beno does not apply to koi, he will hold ein choshishin lezera ha'av, that we don't consider the father identity. V'sev afilu miksaseh lo amrinon. And as a result of that, we don't have here a miksaseh, and it could very well be that even if you did have miksaseh, we still would not be concerned, because miksaseh is not sufficient. If we look in the Rashi across from here, Reblezer Sofar, Ein Choshishin, we don't factor in father's identity. Hilkoch Safil Miksaseh Lo Armin Klomar Leko Lemeimar Bo. Meaning, since we hold Ein Choshishin Lazarav, therefore there isn't even Miksaseh. If you could have a situation of Miksaseh under other circumstances, then maybe that would be enough. But because of Ein Choshishin Lezera'av, we don't have even Miksas Seh. The Gemara asks, V'lifloig b'choshishin lezera'av b'plukta d'chananya v'rabonan, why not have this machlokis, if in fact the explanation of the above source with Osov es beno involving the Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer is an argument concerning Choshishin or Ein Choshishin Lezera'av, why not have them simply presented alongside or in a machlokis just like that of the Chananya and the Rabbanan? After all, Chananya and the Rabbanan also were dealing with osov es beno. They were featured at the end of our previous shir and the beginning of today's shir. Namely, Chananya said that you cannot shecht a father and its offspring on the same day, and that's because choshishin lezera'av. And the Chachamim say father and offspring could be shechted on the same day because father identity is of no significance. So the issue right now is, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim argue about that case? Why are they being presented in this particular case of the Tayesh Habal Tzviya, and we're focusing on the second and third generations in order to present their machlokes? The Gemara answers, E pligi behahi, had Reb Lezer and the Chachamim argued in the case of, or parallel the case of Chananya and the Rabbanan,
Havamina, I would have thought, beha, in this case, afilu rabbonon modu. In our case now, with the Bas and Ben, the second and third generation, the rabbonon would be lenient and allow the two to be shechted the same day, because the sev afilu miksa se lo amrinon, because partial se is not sufficient, I would have thought. Partial se identity, partial behema identity, I would have thought, is not sufficient for being included in the restriction of osav espino. Kamashmalan, therefore, it was important to feature this case, the bas and the ben, and the rabbonon restriction, telling us that osav espino is noig in koi, even this case, where even if the parent is only partial behema, the rabbonon would nevertheless state their restriction. We now continue with the second of the three sources we described before. Here we're talking about the din of kisui hadam, which we said is a chaya related halacha. The hadisnan koi ein shochten oso b'yom tov. A koi is not to be slaughtered on Yom Tov. V'im shachtoi, and if one did shecht it on Yom Tov, ein mechasen es domo. So then you are not to do kisui hadam. Kisui hadam is a process of taking some dirt and putting it on the floor where you are going to shecht a chayon, an undomesticated animal or a bird, and upon the dirt, the blood falls, and then above that, another layer of dirt is spread out. B'mai askinan, what is the case of this koi? I lema b'tayish habo al hatzvia, the olda. If it were a case of a male behema, and behema, as we said before, is not subject to kisui hadam, and it had mated with a female deer, and it gave birth. Bein l'rabbonon, bein l'rebelozer, lishchoit. According to either one of those opinions that we saw above arguing, here they would say you can shecht v'lichsi and do the kisui hadam, because tzvi v'afilu miksas tzvi. From the mother standpoint, you have a chaya. And everyone agrees that your choshesh lezera ha'aim. In this case, even if you were to consider the father's identity, but you still have at least a partial tzvi identity, and everyone agrees that when you have a partial mother identity, the mitzvahs that are shayach to that identity will be binding. So since in this case the Torah says to do a kisui hadam on a tzvi, on a chaya, and the mother here is a chaya, even if the offspring is partial chaya, it still is included in the mitzvahs that are noheg to chaya, and therefore kisui hadam should be done. We should have pointed out earlier that if it's a matter of doubt, then simply taking dirt and sprinkling it on blood outside of a mitzvah performance would not be allowed to be done on Yom Tov. But if it's within the realm of the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, it would be allowed to be done on Yom Tov. Therefore, the koi case is not the Taya Shabala Tzviya. Ela b'tzvi habo'al ha'taisha. Rather, it must be a case of a father chaya that had relations with the behema mother. And in this case, we have a Tanaic source, we'll call the Rabbanan. There's no name, so we refer to this as the source of the Rabbanan. And they said not to shecht a koi, which in this we're describing as now a tzvi habo'al ha'taisha. V'rabbonon Sfuke misafkalahu e choishishin. Let's go over this again. We have to go back to the Ela. Ela b'tzvi habo'ala taisha. The father, in this case, was the chaya, the mother being behema, the mother being non-kisui hadam related. V'yolda, and it gave birth to our koi. Well, e l'rabbonon, if this source were according to the Rabbonon, that holds choishishin l'zera ho'av, lishchot v'lichsi, then let shechita take place and do kisui, because we, according to the Rabbonon, we factor in the father identity. And e the Rabbi Lazar, lishchot v'lo lichsi, let shechita take place without any kisui. According to the Rabbonon, just to go over the shitas, according to the Rabbonon, ho choshish lezerav, the father in this case is a tzvi, that's the male, and the father in this case, being a chaya, has kisui hadam required. So the offspring, having the father aspect of chaya in him, should demand kisui. Kisui could be done. And if the source were according to Rebbe Lazar, then it's the father identity is totally discounted because ein choshishin lezerav, and therefore shechita should be able to be done without kisui having to be of any concern to us. Why does the source say ein shochtin? Some type of, we'll say, hesitation. Li'olam b'tzvi habala taisha. The third stage of analysis says, well, let's go like we did in the second. Father is chaya, mother is behema. V'rabbonon sfuke mesafkalu ichoshishin lezerav ein choshishin. And the reason for the Rabbonon restricting the shechita is because they're approaching the issue of choshish zerav from a standpoint of doubt. Maybe yes, maybe no. And on the side that we're not choshish lezerav, in this case, you have the offspring would be identified only by its mother, namely a behema, and hence no kisui. The Gemara asks, Umid Rabbonon misafka lehu, from the fact that the Rabbonon, who argue with Rebbe Lazar, are presented as taking a stance of doubt. Rebbe Lazar, whom we have known to say ein choshin, must have been from a standpoint of certainty. Pshita lay. Well, let's see how this figures in the continued analysis. So just to review the point, at this point we're saying that the above source that had no name in it, dealing with Kisui Adam, reflected the Rabbonon point of view, and the Isser in Shechita was because I don't know how to deal with the Kisui, and that's a Suffolk, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer, who argues with the Rabbonon, would have no Suffolk and hold from a standpoint of certainty, ein choshishin. Well, the Ha de Sanya, we now have another source. This source features the Machlokis, Rabbonin, and Rebbe Lezer in it. It deals with Matnas Kahuna, and as we said before, Matnas Kahuna are a Behema-related halacha. Hazral Chayva Keva, the arm, cheek, and stomach of Chulin Shchitas, of non-sacrificial slaughterings. Noyagin Bekoy Uvukilayim are binding when it comes to a koi and kilayim. There's a Rashi that we want to note on the second wide line under the Gemara, Zorah Chayim Akeva, Im shor im sek siv behu. It says in the pasuk regarding the matnas kahuna, shor, an ox, se, a sheep. Umashma de ein noagim b'chaya, which implies that it's not a chaya related halacha. Rabbi Lezer Omer, kilayim habo mino ezu mino rochel chayvim atonas. A kilayim, a crossbreeding, resulting or the mating of a goat and sheep, the offspring of that union is chayav in matonis. That's a case of kilayim. Min hakoy poter min hamatonis. And it's at this point we see a machlokis where the chachomim in the name of the Tanakhama holds noagim b'koy. Here it says the koy is poter. The mayaskinon. What's the case of the koy? And once again, you can see the stage analysis style of Gemara. The triangles indicate the stages. I lema b'tayish habaatzvia v'yolda. If we are talking about a case of father behema mating with mother chaya and giving birth, bishlema l'Rebbe Eliezer de potar. Rebbe Eliezer, who says there is an exemption, there is no matonis in this case. Kosovar se vafilu miksa se lo aminon. The fact that the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer that holds ein choshishin lezeraav, that is what we had determined right before we began number three, that according to Rebbe Eliezer it was pshita that ein choshishin. As a result of that, the Av was the only chance of this thing being a behema, but he holds ein choshishin lazara av. As a result of that, you don't have here even a mixaseh, and therefore it's pure chaya, and that's why it's exempt from matonis. Elo l'rabbonon, but according to the rabbonon that are mesupak, maybe we are choshesh. What was the Rabbanan Shita over here? The Rabbanan Shita is that you do have to give the batonis. The question is, the Gemara will raise, I don't see why you should have to give the matonis. At best, we have a suffake. At best, this case of Taya Shabbat Sfiya is a partial behema. That's at best. And that would be a function of choshishin lezer av. The av, the tayish, was a behema. So that at best, you would have 50% of this offspring as being behema. And if you hold ein choshishin lezer av, because the rabbanon really are in doubt, so you would have zero behema represented here. The question then is, why does this source under the Tanakhama say that you have to give the matonis? We know that if there is a matter of doubt when it comes to mominous issues of money, finance, as is the case here, the matonis are of a momon nature. We're not dealing with sacrifices, we're dealing with chulin. If there is a matter of doubt, there's a concept called hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. The one who wants to extract, in this case the Kohen, he would have to bring a proof that we are Choshesh Lezera Ha'av. As a result of that, even from the other, from the second 50%, why should even that be given to the Kohen? The Gemara will spell all of this out as we now go ahead. Elo L'Rabbanon Nehi the Kosavri Sev Afilu Mixaseh. Granted, they are willing to say that something that's partial Sev, partial Behema, is also of significance. So, Bishlamo Palgo Lo Yohivle. I understand that half of the Matonis will not be given because there is only Mixaseh. The other half in this case happens to be Tzviya. The mother was a Chaya. Idoch palga, the other half, the half coming as a result of saying miktsas se, that partial se would be of significance, but even that is a function of holding choshishin lezera av. But we're saying that according to the Rabbanan, choshishin lezera av is a matter of doubt. So lema lay, let the Yisrael owner, the non-kohen, the Yisrael owner of the animal, say to the kohen who wants to get the matonis, I see raya the choshishin lezera av. You bring proof that we take into consideration father identity, ushkol, and then take the half of the matonis. So, just to review this, since we're presenting as a result of the end of case two above, that the Rabbanon hold Choshen Zerav only mitzat sofek, in this case, why should there be any Matnas Kahuna Noheg Bekoi? Ela, B'tzvi HaBala Taisha V'yolda. We'll feature a case of a Tzvi, father was Chaya, that had relations, that mated with a mother Behema. And we're talking about the offspring being Shechted and its Matonis. B'shlomo L'Rabbonon, my Chayav. According to the Rabbonon, the term Chayav means B'chatzi Matonis. Since there is a definite half Behema here, from the mother standpoint, mother identity is not ever in question. So since there's half behemo identity, so when the Tanakhama says that you have to give matonis from the koi, you're giving half. Elo l'Rabbi Eliezer l'chayev b'kulu matonis. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that holds vadai ein choshin. This too we concluded at the end of case two above. According to him, if you say vadai loy choshin, so in this particular case, there is no chayo identity. It's pure behema in a halachic sense. So the chayav b'kulu matonas. One should be chayav in all of the matonas. Why does he say there is an exemption? Li'olam b'tzvi habo ala taisha v'yolda. So we're going to go back now to the second stage and say that we are talking about father Chaya, mating with mother Behema, and we're dealing with a Behema-centered halacha v'matonis. V'Rebbe Lazer Nami Svuke Misafkale Yichoshen Zera'av Olo. And Rebbe Lazer also is, in fact, in doubt regarding Choshen Zera'av. In other words, we see Rebbe Lazer says that there's a p'tur of matonis. The reason for a p'tur would arise by virtue of taking into consideration the tzvi aspect. Well, but now we're saying that not only are the Rabbanan Mesupuk, as we determined in the Kisri Hadam case where it said Ein Shechten the Koi on Yontif, we're now saying that was the Shitas Rabbanan. They are in doubt. And now we're saying that Rebbe Lezer also is in doubt. The Kevin the Rabbonim Misafkalahu, Ulu Rebbe Lezer Misafkalahu, B'mai Pliki. If both of these Shitas have the same opinion or the same attitude regarding Choshen Zerav, so then what's the grounds of Machlokis, B'mai Pliki? What are they arguing about? Answer, the argument concerns B'sev Afilu Mikzaseh. Does the fact that something is partial seh have halachic significance? In this last case, with a tzvi habala taisha, from the mother's standpoint, there is a seh identity, a behemo identity, seh being interchangeable with behemo. The Rabbonan, in this case of the matonis, we saw that there is matonis to be given. Rabbi Lezer says, no matonis. Rabbonan Savri, Sev Afilu Mixaseh. As a result of that, the Rabbonan who said that Matonis are Noeg, so half of the Matonis will be given. For the Lezer that said that there is no Matonis, Savar, Sev Velo Mixaseh. That when it comes to Matonis, it's given only from something that's total Seh, not something that's partial Seh. And in this case, since the mother was the Taisha, was the Behema or the Seh, so to speak, therefore, it's only a Mixah Seh, and hold, since you hold that when the Torah has a Behema requirement, it has to be total Behema, this is only partial Behema, therefore, Potter from Matonis. At this point, Rav Papa now uses this information, this analysis, and goes over the cases of Kisi Adam, Matonis, and Oisov Espino, the sources that we have seen up till this point. As we had been going along, we mentioned that Koi is a type of creature whose identity needs to be identified. So as such, the identity of the koi in each one of these sources will have to be determined in order to explain the outcome of each one of the sources we learned. And that's what Rav Papa does now. He reviews these cases. Amar Rav Papa, Hilkach, le'inyon kisui hadam umatonas. Regarding the kisui hadam, which was a source that said, ein shochtin, that you do not shecht on yontif, which implied that something that's a suffik is potter. And we saw, in the case of matonas, we saw a machlokes. So the Rav Papa says, lo mishkachas elo bitzvi habo al hataisha. Case of the tzvi, the father, the male, is a chaya, has relations with a mother, behema. Debein l'rabbonon ubein l'reb lezer misafkelu yichoshen zera'av olo. We pointed out that both Tanoim, Rabbonin and Reb Elazar, have a suffix whether you take into consideration father identity or not. If that be the case, so what is the point of Machlokes? V'komiflegi besev afilu miksaseh. Therefore, when it came to the case of Kisui Hadam, you have a situation being that the Kisui Hadam figures or factors in only from the Chaya side of things. In this case, it was the father was a Chaya. Well, it's a doubt whether we factor him in. So since it's a doubt, we do not do the Kisui on Yom Tov. And that's why it says, Ein Shochtim. That's why we're instructed, don't do the Shechita. Because you're getting, if you do the shechita, you're getting yourself involved with the need, the possible need for kisui. And the source went on to say that if you did do the shechita, still don't do the kisui, because the need for kisui at best is going to be it's a suffix, from the father standpoint, and therefore don't do the kisui on Yom Tov. Regarding the matonas, there we saw a machloikes, and in this case, since the mother is a behema, so it's clear that there is some behema identity, and matonas is a behema centered halacha, and since there is definitely miksas behema here, the issue is, do you hold afilu miksaseh? Regarding that, we saw that the Rabbanon say, yes, miksaseh is enough to be mechayev in giving the matonas, or part of the matonas. Reb Elazar says that when something is defined or described as miksaseh, there is no matonas. And that's what he said, it's potter for matonas. Le'inyan oisov espino, regarding the source of oisov espino, and in that source there was a machloikis regarding the koi, is there an isser of shechting mother and offspring the same day? Mishkachas lo, that case will come out bein b'tayish habo ala tzviya or bein b'tzviya habo ala taisha, with regard to either one of those scenarios where father is behema or father is chaya. Ule isura. And the nafkamina here is going to be an issue of iser, meaning prohibition, but not malchus. Malchus meaning lashing. We won't be discussing malchus, because malchus is given only when you have something that is of certainty, not something that is a matter or an outgrowth of doubt. The Rabbonon Savri, Dilma Choshishin Lezera Ha'av. And we should just review that when you're dealing with the issue of Oisav Espino, we're dealing with a case that the parent has to be a behema. So the Rabbonon, who in the case of Oisav Espino said that it's Noheg Bekoi, they say, Savri Dilma Choshishin Lezera Ha'av. that regarding the case of Tayish Habo'al Atzviya, regarding that case, the Rabbanan will take the standpoint, they said that it's Noheg, Noheg being that regarding Isser, it's Noheg, not regarding Malkos. The Rabbanan hold, maybe we consider the Zera'av. The Zera'av in this case was a Tayish, was a Behema. Sev afilu mixa se amrinon the Usser. And on the standpoint that we are Hoshesh Zera'av, we have a Mixas Se in this case, and Mixas Se is enough to categorize it as a Behema. Rebbe Lezer Sovar. Now Rebbe Lezer said that as far as Osav Espino and is concerned, there is no problem, no restriction. Rebbe Lezer Sovar Nihi Nami Dechoshev Zera'av. Granted that I too hold you might be Choshesh Zera'av, but in this case the Av was a Tayish. At best, the offspring is a partial behemoth from the father's standpoint. Sev afilu mixa se lo amrinon. But the offspring, at best, would have been a mixas se. And a mixas se, according to Rebbe Lezer, does not figure into the Isser of Oisav Espino. We should not forget that when we're discussing the case of Oisav Espino, we were talking about the second and third generations, so that in the union of the Tayish Habo'al Atzviya, the second generation of that was a Mixas Behema from the possibility of Choshen Zera'av, and that parent is at best a Mixas Behema. With the third generation, according to Rebbe Elezer, since the parent is only a Mixas Behema, it's not included in Oisav Espino. The second case of Koi B'Tzvi Habo Al HaTaisha, in this case, the Rabbanan once again said that it's Noeg Bekoi, but now this will have Malkos ramifications. The father was the Chaya, was the non-Osav Espino factor, that had relations with a Taisha, the mother, being Behema. And it resulted in a second generation, Ula Malkos. And now the Shaila is going to be, if you chef the second and third generation, will there be Malkus? Rabbonon Safri, Nehi Nami Dechoshishin Lezera'av, granted that we might figure in, we might factor in the Zera'av, which is the Tzvi, but if you factor it in, okay, so now what's the offspring? It's a half, it's a partial behema. Sev afilu mixaseh amrinon. When the Torah prohibits Osav Espino, when it comes to behemas, the Torah's intent is even if it's partial behema. And here there is definitely partial behemoth, because the mother, concerning which no one argues, contributes to the identity. We say mixaseh is considered a behemoth, umalkinonle, and he will get malchus. For Rabbi Lezer Savar, Rabbi Lezer, who mentioned that koi is not noheg lesmano, he meant to say that there's no malchus. Isura ika. There is Isser, however, Malkus Leko. Explanation. Isura Iko, there is Isser, there is prohibition. Dilmo Ein Choshen Zera'av. Maybe we discount the father. In this case, the father was Achaya, was the Tzvi. The high, the offspring here, Sema Al Yahu, is pure Se. In other words, the offspring is pure Se, being that the mother was a Taisha. So the second generation would be a pure Se. And therefore, there would be an Osav Espino problem. However, Malko Isleko, there is not going to be lashing, because Dilmo Choshen Zera'av, maybe we do factor in the father identity. Vesev afilu mixaseh lo amrinon. And if we do factor in the father identity, the result of the second generation will be a partial behema. And by partial behema, as far as Rebbe Lezer is concerned, that does not, it's not sufficient to categorize it as behema, and hence it's not sufficient to include it in the realm of Oisav Espino, and therefore there will be no Malkos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.